Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
Really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen following the classic, classic ending to the original Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston bringing down the house with the ending of that movie. We enjoyed that movie, that franchise. We are going to discuss that this week. We have the presentation of the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes will be released this week. And we're going to take a nice discussion of the history of chimps in entertainment and bring us up through the new franchise of the Planet of the Apes, a franchise which I pull for the humans. There's no doubt about that. I love the humans fighting against these obstacles and these chimps and apes and that civilization. And I don't know, Dave, what do you feel?
I'm an ape fan. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I look like an ape. I act like an ape. I like the apes or the underdogs. And we're going to get into all of
yes.
that, though.
Right? First, let's take a look at the history of this. If you look at chimps, if you will, in our entertainment field,
Excluding the two of us.
Correct. We're going back before we even were born. So, if you will, the Babe Ruth of chimpdom in the entertainment field
chimpdom.
Is by no doubt in my mind is Cheetah from the Tarzan movies and the TV series of 1930 through 1968, believe it or not.
And Cheetah was a chimp. He wasn't a cheetah. Just to be clear.
Correct. Cheetah was a chimp. And believe it or not, there were 17 cheetahs through those series between Johnny Weissmuller all the way through the TV series in 68. Certainly, there also was in 1951, the Bonzo. There were two movies starring Bonzo the chimp with our eventual president, Ronald Reagan, which really brought this chimp as a funny, humorous figure.
A legitimate entertainer, the chimp.
Yeah, the chimp. I mean, but...
We're not talking about Reagan. We're talking about Bonzo.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
Easy joke there. We should have a rim shot at that point. Dave, you found something out about the Bonzo movies that was very...
I did. The director of the Bonzo movies, the original Bedtime for Bonzo and the sequel, was Fred DeCordova, who basically went on to direct and produce the Johnny Carson.
The Tonight Show.
Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yes. So, and he did that for umpteen years.
He legitimized the chimps.
Exactly. So between those two, we've got that, let's call it the Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig of chimpdom and the Joe DiMaggio, if you will, is, if you're a baseball fan, is without question, J. Fred Muggs, my favorite chimp of all time. Long story short, back in the 1950s, the Today Show had some ratings.
The Today Show as we know it today.
Absolutely. The NBC Today Show in the mornings had some ratings issues. And in 1953, the executives brought on J. Fred Muggs, a chimp, that always dressed as a human being, if you will. He wears suspenders and a bow tie.
Wait, so J. Fred Muggs was a co-host of the show? Sit there together?
Yes, he was a co-host of the show. There were times that they would put roller skates on him, and he would roll, the camera would stay stationary, and he'd roll from camera left to camera right. And in his hand, he'd have a placard with, let's say, the next guest that used to be on the show. And he would roll right across, and then he'd go back from right to left. And it was a big hit. Long story short, also, with that, he would follow some instructions, and they would have have some bits for him to do as a trained chimp, if you will. But the big thing that he would do that would drive, I think his name was Dave Garraway, crazy, would be he would, if there was an interview and he had nothing to do, or nothing planned to do, nothing scripted, he would play with the hair of the guest, he would spill a drink, he'd drink a drink.
He'd act like a chimp.
Yeah, basically. He'd run off the stage, he'd do flips, and the camera would follow them, or they should say the chimp, around, and Garraway and the guest would try to promote the next movie or whatever was they were discussing, and the chimps would just take
rule
of the day.
That's hilarious. Why aren't they doing that today on the new Today Show? I read something. I don't know if this is a long-standing rumor, but apparently the human co-host, Dave Garraway, was jealous of J. Fred Muggs and allegedly spiked the chimp's orange juice with some sort of amphetamine so that J. Fred Muggs would misbehave on set and hopefully get fired.
And he actually did get J. Fred Muggs fired, believe it or not. Yes. Today, we're discussing Planet of the Apes on Everything Old is New Again, 103.9. You won't believe the arguments we're having. Let's take a listen to the next installment, The Progression of Apes in Our Entertainment, with Lancelot Link.
Lancelot Link, secret chimp.
That's the beginning of the Lancelot Link Saturday morning show.
Oh, God, I love that show.
One of Dave's favorites.
Well, yours too.
It is. I actually have a Lancelot Link lunchbox, believe it or not.
You do. I saw it. I was incredibly impressed.
My mom would not allow me to have that back in the day, so I bought it for myself on eBay. I grew up, if you will. Dave loves that show. I don't know. Why would you say you love that?
Well, first of all, just to explain, that show was entirely... The whole cast were actual chimps. There were no humans in it. And the chimps were dressed up in human clothes. And it was, again, I think to your point, you might have said or didn't say, based on Get Smart,
right.
Which was popular at the time. So Lancelot Link was a secret chimp, a secret agent chimp. And they would put him in all kinds of weird situations. And what happened was it was scripted, okay? But, you know, chimps being the animals that they are, they would give them gum or something to chew on to get their lips moving. But oftentimes, the lips would keep moving after the script was done. So the voice actors had to ad-lib a little bit, which made the show really zany. They would just break into song, or they would do children's rhymes, something like that. So as a kid watching it, just the spontaneity of it, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, one of the voice actors was Bernie Capel, who was on Love Boat. Before that, he was actually on, he was Siegfried on Get Smart. And
right.
You'd hear
and this was a big, I mean, the writers of Lancelot Link were the two top writers for the Carol Burnett Show at the time. They quit that job to work on Lancelot Link.
To have their writing and their
legacy.
Script, yeah, butchered by Lancelot Link. Who was the chimp in that one? What was his name?
Really? You know, interesting, the chimp's name, it was Tongo. Tongo the chimp, and believe it or not, and I told this to Doug before the show, he's still alive. Tongo the chimp, after all this time, still alive and well, living in the Wildlife Way Station in Los Angeles, a reserve for animals. And if you buy the TV show, Lancelot Link, on DVD, which I believe...
I have it.
You have it.
Oh, yes.
Part of your proceeds, Doug, went to this Wildlife Way Station. So you're supporting Tongo.
I'm going to have to buy about 10 of them. I know what to give for holiday gifts this year. That's for sure.
There you go. Chimps supporting other chimps. That's what we're all about here.
By the way, I know that I've done some... My favorite, of course, is J. Fred Muggs. And believe it or not, he's 62. And he's living in Citrus Park, Florida, with his girlfriend Phoebe B. Beebe, who was his replacement, believe it or not, on the Today Show. And I think he's there with the son of the original trainer.
He's living in Florida. He's retired, living in Florida.
Yes.
Oy, that's great. Is he sending back bad banana bread in the deli?
I'm sure he's playing golf and hitting the ball over.
But it's amazing how long these apes live. I didn't realize
that either. I have no idea. Let's take a look at now that we turned into a serious turn on the apes point.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Of course, again, the original Planet of the Apes, that series began in 1968. Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone was drafted, if you will, to come in and beef up the screenplay. He came up with the ending of that that first show, and it became a cultural phenomenon. A
classic all-time film, and you're right, cultural phenomenon at the time.
There were four sequels, there were comics, there were TV series. Roddy McDowell dressed up as an ape for the Academy Awards. There was a movie theater presentation across the country called Go Apes in 1974, where all five ape movies played on a Saturday afternoon. And I remember my brother and myself and everyone from the neighborhood went to go see Go Apes for 5 hours.
You sat there through all five ape movies.
Absolutely. We thought we had gotten over on our parents, too, thinking that we were getting away from the house at 12 years old for apedom, to enjoy and participate in Planet of the Apes. Meanwhile, our parents had a great time without us, playing golf and having parties.
They were going ape while you guys were.
What's the fascination? Where are we getting all this from?
Tell me you sat there through five films. What is the fascination?
I think it starts with the makeup. If you take a look at that makeup on those the original series, you really, really examine and realize that we've got some fun going on there.
Yeah. Before CGI, I mean, they had to make them look like apes.
Exactly. Let's take a listen and a look at the series right after these commercial break.
This segment of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or are trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure that you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
Or killed ape.
Ape shall never kill ape.
Shall ape ever kill man?
That's from the Battle of the Planet of the Apes, the fifth of the original franchise, Planet of the Apes. And there the writers went back to the origin of the Planet of the Apes, trying to show how, in their view, in this series, that the apes themselves were more civilized than humans.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm for the apes, because the apes are more civilized than humans. Humans aren't that civilized.
Yeah, it's blood boiling when I hear that. Let's take a listen to Cornelius, one of your favorites, I'm sure, discussing how and what.
Well, he's an ape, isn't he?
Well, he's a chimp, actually.
Beware the beast man, for he is the devil's pawn. Alone among God's primates, he kills for sport, or lust, or greed. Yea, he will murder his brother to possess his brother's land. Let him not breed in great numbers, for he will make a desert of his home and yours. Shun him. Drive him back into his jungle lair, for he is the harbinger of death.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
No, you know, why of all the... There was one ape that had a British accent. I couldn't figure that out. All the apes had American, English accents.
I realized he was the Well, whatever. Long story short is that...
that explains it.
All the evil characters in movies are British, aren't they, at this point? With the British
basically,
accent?
If you're evil, right, British or German accent, either one works.
But why is that significant to you? I mean, you hear these...
What, the British accent?
Well, that is...
Could you do I what? Think that the apes... Look, I could do the Paul
McCartney.
Do a
British accent, yeah.
You want me to respond with a British accent?
Right, because you're the evil side of this.
Well, look, Doug, I think what's happening here is that the apes are a metaphor for oppressed and persecuted classes of humans. African Americans, Jews, and any oppressed ethnic or religious group.
To me, they're the underdog, and in the original apes and the new apes, they're the people who are getting persecuted. That's why I root for them.
I can see that point of view, but I took it the other way. The humans, especially in the, again, we're focusing right now on the original series, the humans humans were the ones that were oppressed by the apes. However that came to be, that was what was going on.
But they were oppressed because the apes were afraid of what the humans did to the planet before, if you remember. Right?
I understand, but...
They blew it up, listen, as we heard Charlton Heston say.
Talking about him, let's listen to where he's coming from in this series.
Tell me, though. Does man that... marvel of the universe, that glorious paradox who sent me to the stars, still make war against his brother? Keep his neighbor's children starving?
I mean, this is the beginning of the movie, and it sets the tone that this character, in my world, is the ultimate, if you will, entrepreneur. He is not interested in government interference. He's not interested. He wants to live his life away from the planet. That's why he left the planet, if you will, to start new. And then he gets to the Planet of the Apes. He's starting to eat some fruit. He sees the humans who are a little dumber than the humans that he left, if you will. He's quoted as saying, overlooking them, eating into it, biting into an apple, I think it was, saying that in 6 months, he will, or they, the astronauts, will be the rulers
of this
world.
They're
going to
be ruling this place, right.
And then all of a sudden they hear, rang, rang, you know, that sound.
The siren. Yeah.
And he's back to fighting the oppression of, if you will, the government or of authority. And I think he is, his struggle shows that, listen, absolute power corrupts absolutely, whether you're an ape, a human, or anything else.
Yeah, look, that's a common theme, yes. Between the apes and the humans, whoever was in power ended up really abusing the power. But with that said, I think that, you know, the apes just will do a better job. I think they will. Can I just say one other thing in defense of the apes?
Yes.
You know, there was
you
a...
try.
There, it's all about the animal rights, too, right? The experimentation that's done on animals, not to get too heavy here, but, you know, everything that we're doing is being tested on animals. And it's good to see the animals rise up against this stuff, which we're going to see we've seen in the new Apes Enterprise. How about Taylor when he's caught? What's the first thing he says? Get your damn dirty apes. I mean, he was looking at them with disdain.
After witnessing the apes putting his fellow human in cages and witnessing his fellow astronaut suffer a lobotomy at the hands of the apes. So I think he had some justification.
Those humans deserve the lobotomy.
Well, let's take a listen to see where the apes come from in this world. All right, so, I mean, you can't tell me that these apes are so benevolent and lovely creatures.
But the whole reason they were like this, right, was because Dr. Zaius was protecting them from the humans, right? Dr. Zaius knew the secret. They knew that the humans blew up the world, and he was protecting them, keeping that part of the Forbidden Zone. Remember the Forbidden Zone where all the evidence was that the humans blew it up? He was keeping it secret from the apes. He wanted to dumb down the humans so that it wouldn't happen again. So, yes, they were a little barbaric. They were keeping the humans down, but at least there was a reason for it.
Well, I mean, I understand that reason, but keeping the general public in the dark about the truth, the significant truth of humans or in general in our society or any other, to keep humans or keep the society down and dumb, if you will, to the true facts of what went on is inevitably going to be a road to go down where you're gonna fail as a government or as a society, there's no doubt. Because sooner or later the truth comes out and, you know, if you would have just let that happen, there could have been some peaceful coexistence on between these two civilizations, learning from the past.
Right.
And we do that to this day. We don't learn from the past. And that's the beauty of this series. If you want, we could take a look and look at the new series. But before we do, I want to just leave you with one beautiful quote from this.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Right, and what was happening when he yelled that? Do you remember?
That may have been when my wife told me to go out to cut the grass for the 40th time.
In the movie.
Oh, in the movie. You tell me.
He was being sprayed with a hose, very symbolic back in the 60s, if you recall, the police using water hoses to repress any demonstrations. And I think that was significant in that movie. That's why he yelled like that, because he was in a cage and the ape was, or the gorilla, whoever it was
washing him down. Right.
Exactly.
And I can understand that and see the symbolic nature of that. With the 60s movement, that was happening in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a look at the new franchise. We're looking at the last movie that just came out, which is called The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That movie made $350 million. There's The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which is coming out this weekend, and there's already a sequel planned for 2016. Problem I have is those movies focus on the apes being the sympathetic character and the humans being the fools, and eventually will lose their society to the apes.
Look, it's time to turn the keys over to the apes. Put them in charge. Let's see how they do. What have we done? We blew up... I'm talking about the movies now. Sometimes Doug and I have to separate fantasy from reality. In the movies, the apes blew up the world. The humans, sorry, blew up the world twice, right? The Statue of Liberty laying on the beach. And then in the sequel, Taylor pushed the button and blew it up again. So give Cornelius and Dr. Zaius, give this new Caesar in the new franchise, give them a chance to run it. What's the worst that can happen? You know?
Well, you could be lobotomized, or you could be turned into a statue, as was done in the movies and you saw. They weren't exactly so civilized. So
I think this show is a reason for both of us to be lobotomized. But that's another
subject. Speaking of which, I'd love to hear from you if you have any comments about this particular show or our series of shows that are available on podcast at everythingoldisnewagain.biz. Send us an email, oldnewagain@AOL.com. I'm sorry, I just can't root for the apes, and I'm glad that this is just a fantasy and something that's really not something that we really have to talk about. We do have social problems, we do have issues, but we at least don't have to worry about apes and chimps getting smarter as a result of some serum that, what's his name, was it James Franco,
right,
brought about in this new series.
Well, actually, Doug, I have a little surprise for you.
Ah.
Yes, he's right outside the door. Hold on, I'm gonna bring him in.
Give me a sec. This should be interesting.
All right, just gonna put him down here. Put him right down here.
Describe for the listeners what you're looking at right now.
Look at this little guy. He is he's a cute little guy that what did it say? A little something. There we go. Oh, see, this is
his name is Bingo. It's Bingo the chimp.
This is where all this came from. This is where all this is so interesting. He's just jumping on the desk here. He just spilled my soda.
He's going to be the third member of our crew now. By the way, J. Fred Muggs reincarnated.
I wish I had some skates. He could skate around and put this on YouTube, and everybody would watch this. What a terrific little surprise. Thank you very much. I could never see that we would have any trouble with these apes ever
taking
in the future.
Over.
Listen, the bottom line is we don't have to worry about this at all. Hey, wait a minute. What?
Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@AOL.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@AOL.com.
Remember the deeds you have performed, the labors you have accomplished. Now, tell me, who are you?
I am Hercules!
How do you follow that? I am Douglas Viviani with David Cohen on Everything Old is New Again. We're discussing Hercules. There's been 29 movies. There's a Marvel comic superhero that's been around for at least 30 years. There's a TV series that was on the air with Kevin Sorbo something like 8 years. There's a Disney movie. And this year alone, there are two additional movies. One's already played.
Two movies.
Yes, in 1 year. Competing for your entertainment dollar. There's not much education in the Hercules genre, I don't think, and that's with The Rock, and it came out about a month ago on July 25th. The most famous Hercules actor, if you remember this fellow back in the 60s, was Steve Reeves. He played Hercules twice. He became, as a result of this character, playing it in Hercules Unchained and the sequel, the number one box office star in 25 countries. Not in the U.S., but in 25 countries.
Not in the
all right,
US.
But it was something. And then U.S. Producers approached him to be James Bond in the first
Dr. No, first James Bond movie in 1960, and he said no.
He said no to Dr. No.
He said no to Dr. No. And
why?
Then, because he wanted more money. Then Clint Eastwood, or I should say the role that Clint Eastwood eventually took over in Fistful of Dollars, was offered to him. Again, a career-making movie in the U.S., and this fella said, nah, you know, Italians don't really enjoy Westerns. Like, not even thinking that, gee, there are Americans that or anybody else could, you know, enjoy that.
Wow.
Wrong again. So yeah. This character, not only is the character of Hercules not too sharp, neither is...
Steve Reeves.
Some of the actors, yeah.
Is Steve Reeves still around? Will he come around looking to kick our butts because of how we're putting him down, or is this a long time ago?
You know, and he's probably about 90, and he probably still could.
He played Hercules, yeah.
He came
Mandelbaum.
Down to the studio
Mandelbaum,
here and took a look.
Mandelbaum. All right.
Well, I have a little tape here just to give us a little history of the classic Greek story. I've got an old newsreel from ancient Greece going to give us a little idea of what is the real story of Hercules anyway.
Hercules, born of Zeus and Hera. Hera was upset about the infidelity of Zeus when she finds out that Hercules is not her son. In time, makes her son insane, and Hercules kills his own children.
Unreal. There's another part of that story, I think, that I'm just going to hit the play button on this one as well. There's more to this story. What happens next?
Hercules undertakes 12 labors to purify his soul, kills or captures 12 monsters. Later joins Jason and the Argonauts for the search of the Golden Fleece and undertakes many other adventures alone, all involving his strength and his courage.
Who said the ancient Greeks weren't smart? I mean, they had tapes. It must have been unearthed, I guess, in the archaeological.
Where'd you find that?
Listen, I do a lot of research for this show.
It's like movie tone news for the ancient Greeks.
Question is, what's the fascination with Hercules? And P.S., why doesn't he really get any press? I mean, he's not in the mainstream.
Especially because he was pretty studly, right? He had 40 or 50 kids with four different wives, or at least four wives.
Yes.
And almost all of them were boys.
Yeah.
A very virile
individual. Let's listen to the old Hercules from Hercules Unchained, Steve Reeves himself.
I tell you, Hercules, it must be Antaeus, son of the Earth Goddess. When he touches the ground, he marshals his forces.
So that's it. Then I'll change my way of fighting.
I mean, this is the turning point of Hercules Unchained, and some other schmo is going to tell Hercules, by the way, the guy you're beating up on, every time he gets, you know, thrown to the ground, he's coming get back up because he gets strength from the ground, which is kind of ridiculous to begin with. That happened, by the way, when Godzilla battled King Kong. That's what happened to King Kong, if you remember.
I don't, but I'll take your word for it.
Crossover there, just so you understand. But
right.
Why is this Hercules stereotyped as this big, dumb, muscle-bound, you know, freak that has to have a sidekick all the time that tells him, by the way, punch this guy, not that guy, or this guy's getting, you know, keep him up in the air, don't let him hit the ground, because he gets strength from the ground. I don't know what goes on.
So he has a sidekick. Hercules.
Most of these movies, he sure does. Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll talk about his sidekick in a few minutes. I've got a whole discussion of that, which is quite interesting. But before we get to that, I just want to take a look at some of these actors. This is not a part that has gone unnoticed by Hollywood. Peter Lupus, if you remember this fellow from Mission Impossible, he played Hercules. Arnold Schwarzenegger played Hercules in New York in his first movie. Lou Ferrigno played Hercules in two films, and they dubbed his voice. I don't understand that one.
Oh, I saw a clip of that. That's sad.
Well,
it's sad.
Yeah,
for Lou Ferrigno, I mean...
In the 60s, they dubbed a lot. You know, a lot of the actors were Italian. They were Italian,
Right. Western, but Lou Ferrigno wasn't Italian. Well, I mean, he wasn't from Italy, but they dubbed his voice because if you watch the clip and you hear the voice they dubbed over him, it's hilarious.
I guess the dubbed in Italian accent is better than his normal accent, I guess.
That's what they figured.
Bizarre. I don't know. I think the character is not so likable. He's got a huge ego with tons of muscles and, you know, he's quite a ladies' man. He's kind of like that guy that, you know, you see that back in the day here on Everything Old is New. Again, we do talk about the past as well. And you see that old commercial where, you know, in the comics where little scrawny little guys on the beach and this big muscle-bound guy comes along, kicks sand in his face, and takes his girlfriend.
Right, the Charles Atlas ads. Right?
That's Hercules. Right.
Yeah, that is Hercules.
So, I mean, why is this so interesting? I think they tried to make him interesting in 1962 with the Three Stooges meet Hercules, And I have to tell you, I do a lot of research for the show. I tried to get an actual clip from that movie that was funny. There weren't any. It was perfect for the Stooges because all they did was beat each other up, so to speak. So Hercules joined in on the fun. But I think the only thing we could say is that the most successful Hercules to date, maybe this movie will do something, but were the legendary journeys, they called it, of Hercules, Kevin Sorbo's version. I guess he was on the air for about 5 years. Let's listen to a little of that. Yeah, that's inspiring music. To me, that would be perfect for a Broadway show. continuing our discussion from last week, Hercules, the Broadway musical. Inspiring and classical. But I think the reason why Hercules was successful in that genre, or that remake, if you will, is because that Hercules lost his ego. He didn't brag around. He didn't revel in his conquests. He wasn't married. He had no kids. It was a whole different vibe. What do you think is going to happen with this new rock version of Hercules?
Well, I mean, the rock, what's his name? Darren Johnson or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know. but it's funny how they get these guys who are kind of like real life Hercules to play Hercules. Why is it that every, you know, big guy is portrayed as being dumb, stupid?
I mean, that's, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I know this isn't real life, but so what? It is to me. Dr. Bruce Banner, right? He becomes the Hulk, right? Doesn't any intelligence from Bruce Banner transfer to the Hulk? No, it just disappears. So I don't get the whole thing, and I don't know why they have to portray him as big and stupid. I think that's one of the drawbacks to why everyone hates it.
I agree.
Or we hate it.
I think we could probably come up with a better version of Hercules. We'll probably do that in the second half of the show. We don't have enough time to do it right this second. So stay tuned for that on Everything Old is New Again. By the way, if you missed any of our prior broadcasts, feel free to tune in on our broadcast on our website at everythingoldisnewagain.biz and throw us a couple of emails. Let us know what you think. oldnewagain@aol.com. Remember, when you listen, we are going to start the arguments you're going to love to have. And so I think you'll go to the barbecue and talking about Hercules and why he's successful.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Hercules?
I have, and it's a lot of production value. If you were a half god and I don't know, growing up, nothing hurts you and you can lift up, you know, huge amounts of weight and so forth, in some way, wouldn't you feel you're something special? This guy doesn't know, even in this new movie, that he's half god until someone tells him so. Bizarre.
It's, and by the way, if you watch it, he's the only one that doesn't speak with a British accent. Because, I don't know, I guess he couldn't get a vocal coach or it was too hard for him to learn. But everyone in the movie is speaking with a British accent, which is a whole other thing, whenever they do these period pieces.
Yeah, it's
like
always
Hercules.
It's always the British is the one that is the evil, right. The villain, the evil king in this one. It looks good. I actually am going to see it on video or CD when it comes out. I'm not paying for it. But I'll sit and watch it. I'll get a kick out of it for a little while. But I think it's just blood and guts, just battling back and forth. Show me your muscles. And it doesn't do much for me, quite frankly. So we'll go out just for a few minutes here for a commercial break and come on back, continue our discussion of Hercules. Why is he even
What you folks
around?
Need is a hero.
Yeah? And who are you?
I happen to be a hero.
This portion of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
What you folks need is a hero.
Yeah? And who are you?
I happen to be a hero.
Coming to theaters.
Get your sword!
The hero is only as good as his weapon.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
Ah! Ah!
Hercules.
Yes, that's the Disney attempt to promote Hercules, which, again, I like the concept in the beginning of this type of a story of a hero that has a lot of strength, but Popeye had a lot of strength and was more interesting than this character, I think.
I think so, too.
Back to the idea that he's not so sharp as presented in Marvel Comics. They went along with that as well, and they literally teamed him up with the seventh smartest man in the world. He's actually a boy. He's a teenager. That's his sidekick. And eventually, that Amadeus Cho is his name.
How is he this? There were six smarter than him, I guess?
Oh, you don't know this?
No.
You're not familiar with the Marvel comic version? See, this is why this show is so great, because we'll have to talk about, in Marveldom, if you will, who are the seven smartest men or people in all of Marveldom. Who would be your guess? Let me put it this way. Reed Richards is number one from the Fantastic Four. First of all, he calls himself Mr. Fantastic.
But so this is a formal list.
It's a formal list that he created that is in the comics. Of course, he's a fictional character, but he's creating a list of who's the smartest. So
he puts himself number one.
He's right. Number one and calls himself Mr. Fantastic.
Right.
So clearly that's number one. His arch rival and arch nemesis, of course, has to be number two. It can't be from some other character or some other's character's arch nemesis.
Right.
He's the smartest, so his rival's got to be the smartest. Who would that be? None other than?
Dr. Doom.
Of course.
Tony Stark's got to be on there, right?
Tony Stark is Iron Man, which he built the Iron Man suit.
Right.
And we've seen the movies on that front. He's the third in all of Marveldom smartest man. Then they've got
Bruce Banner.
You spoke about Bruce Banner, not as the Hulk. But as Bruce Banner, he's there. Then there's T'Challa, who's the Black Panther. You really got to be an aficionado to know who that is. So we'll just say that's that. It's a whole other show as to why that character is not so popular. Then there's Spider-Man. Peter Parker is number six.
Really?
Because if you think about it, he's created that
the spider sense thing.
No, he created the web in the in the comics. The web is a formula that he creates, and it's just a mechanical device that he uses.
Okay, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, so he's done that. And then there's this Amadeus Chow, and then there's this fellow called Hank Pym, who was the original Ant-Man and original Giant-Man in the Avengers, and he's a fellow that created how do I describe this? The next villain that's going to be in the Avengers movie coming up, which is a robot. So he comes back from in Marveldom being kidnapped, and he's off on his own, and everybody thinks he's dead. He comes back, and believe it or not, there's a whole series of comics where he gets upset at Reed Richards at this list, and he says he is the seventh smartest man in Marveldom. So they have a little, little
fight
there.
And not Amadeus Cho, the
Hercules
side. Exactly.
Okay. So this is really thrilling, scintillating stuff, but that's what's happening.
But Hercules has a sidekick. Tells him what to do.
Right. And he battles through his difficulties and his trials and tribulations, but be that as it may.
So did Amadeus Cho have any say over becoming Hercules? Like, why would he want to do that?
I guess it's for the publicity. What else could it be? Who else knows who this guy is? I don't know. They don't discuss that. He's just there to help him out.
The short straw.
I think that we can do better than this. I think you and I can create a better version of than Marvel did, than anything in the movies that you've seen, and the movie in The Rock. I mean,
I was thinking it would be better to make it a little more modern, right? Put Hercules in the world today and let's see what happens to him. Just get him more current. You know?
Yeah, I think the greatest foe for Hercules right now is a good story at this point. So let's try to improve on that. I think the writers of this character miss a beautiful opportunity in my world by just focusing on this character's strength. He could, be and stand for more than just being a strong dude, if you will. He's presented as a half god and not so sharp. I think what we could do is have him live in a bad area, and he's not really focused on himself and his strength, but his idea is he wants to use whatever he has upstairs, if he's limited or not, to teach others in his area, the underprivileged, if you will, in his neighborhood, how to overcome obstacles.
Oh, so maybe he's a little mentally challenged in today's world.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, all right.
And he doesn't know, maybe he's a half god. Could that be?
Absolutely, why not?
He's just very strong. He doesn't understand
bullets bounce off him and stuff like
that. Which explains why he he's, quote-unquote, you know, not the brightest person in the world. I mean, it's just, it's a deficiency, okay?
Right, but not something he can't overcome because he's strong, he's powerful,
right.
He's got
that's certainly an ego.
That's
a good start to a story.
I think so. I think, why not, you know? Maybe he's then called upon to help one of his kids, one of the parents of one of the kids, and, you know, there's a struggle there. You know, the parent gets involved somehow. I don't know. What do you think?
So in other words, he's sort of like teaching. Maybe he's a teacher and he's in one of those.
Like a tutor time or something, whatever, you know.
Right. Special needs kids. He's teaching. That's good.
That's good too. All right, sure.
So go ahead. So one of the parents, I guess.
So parents get into trouble, maybe, you know, something like a victimless kind of thing where, you know, they broke his leg, he had to go on a painkiller, oxycodone or something, and over time that painkiller has now, he's become addicted to that, like the parent has.
Right.
And now gets involved with borrowing money from the mob or something, and as a result is like kind of like this little kid says, my dad's really in trouble here. Can you help him out? Well, you know, I know you're strong. Bullets bounce off of you, the whole thing. What can we do to help out Dad, you know?
Maybe he doesn't know that bullets bounce off him yet.
Could be, yeah.
He goes and helps, and maybe the mob shoots at him. And he eventually has this huge,
you know, this battle, this physical power that he has,
right.
which he reluctantly uses, doesn't like to do it, but, you know, rounds up this mob and does good with that. But at the same time, that's just kind of the beginning. I think that at that point we've got a struggle. You know, not just talk about a superhero that's strong, but this guy wants to help in the long run. His thought is, and I think it's a good one in some ways, is that I'd rather not help the people that are in trouble now because my time is limited. I want to help these kids so that they gain confidence, they gain education, they gain a skill, they gain something that they can do.
He's getting all this publicity, right, for battling the mob and having a bullet bounce off him.
Right.
And he's being urged to continue, right?
Right. And he's saying no. I want to approach this where I want these kids to learn from me and learn to use whatever intellect they have, limited or not, they are of value.
And not go
down a bad path.
And what about if the kids? So let's say now that he knows he is half God, right, and it's out and around, maybe the kids start pushing back on him a little bit, like, hey, you know, Mr. Hercules or whatever his name is going to be in the movie,
right. You
know, you really aren't one of us, are you? And so maybe he's losing their trust as well in that struggle.
Which could then, I'm just thinking out loud here, that could be something where then another parent is in trouble, and because he now has a strained relationship with these kids to begin with, and it started as a result of helping the first parent, because
right.
his powers became evident. Again, he wants to teach, not fight crime, if you will. So he goes ahead and says, no, I'm not helping. Again, going to my theory is, I want to help the kids before. You got to start somewhere, and I can't.
So he has a choice, and he picks the kids.
Right, I pick the kids. I have a limited amount of time. I can't be going, you know, doing this. And that parent passes away as a result.
Oh.
Now he's got a quandary for the rest of his life and the rest
right.
of the movie and the series of movies, because there'll be sequels to this one.
Of course.
Will I help? Will I not help?
Right.
You know? We should contact somebody about
this. I think we're onto something.
Right, but isn't that, like, that...
It's much more interesting, right?
But it makes him lovable and so... Not
you want to root for him.
You understand that he's trying to do good and he's scarred from his own power and...
Right.
That gives him, you know, we all have stuff like that where we have the ability to do something, but we may not want to do it.
Right.
For valid reasons.
Right. And you know, what a great role model for any kid to overcome the obstacles he has being maybe, you know, being a little mentally challenged. Let's just come out with it and present the character for who he is. I think people would appreciate that.
And
that's inspiring.
And not everybody's a genius. And you know what? You still can be, you know, quite successful. You know, I think the inner struggle that Hercules has, what we've just discussed, would be something that easily can be presented. By the way, I think this show, by airing it, gives us the copyright to this idea, because everyone knows we just came up with it.
I was going to say, you know, this is sounding good. What if somebody just takes it?
Yeah, as a lawyer,
so
I would say we're good, unless someone else can prove that this idea came to them before the date of the taping or airing, if you will, of this program. So we're good there. I don't know. Give us a call back or an email back and let us know. And everythingoldisnewagain.biz. To me, Disney says it best, right, as the status of this character now, why we don't love him.
If you had to describe for the audience at home in 10 words or less, Why should I see this movie?
Ah, Hercules is big. It's epic. It's in 3D.
Don't do anything foolish.
And it's fun.
Where are you going?
Do something foolish.
That's The Rock, and we're going to go see you next week. That is the best we can do with Legend of Hercules.